The following is a Stick Boy We Talk production.
The following contest scheduled for one fall.
I am the man.
If you're the man, what the rock is talking. Woo! The best there is.
What it is, what it do, welcome to the One Fall Podcast, Joshua and William Arbuthnot, and the ultimate babyface, Mr. Joel Johnson.
How goes it?
Joel, it is going good. An interesting night of a WWE pay-per-view. I get some stiff competition, and some out-of-the-ring news kind of taking up the show tonight.
Yeah, it's there's two sides of the coin we flip on, the outside of the ring and then inside of the ring, especially with things that happen in Elimination Chamber and then sadly the other things that happen. But
yeah,
it's never boring in the pro wrestling world. It had a little bit of a lull and now it's picked back up.
Mm-hmm. You want to lead the show off though, so
yep,
proceed.
So. As I found out, who invented the 450 splash.
Who was that?
Scott Steiner. There's a video of him from 1987 that he innovated the 450 splash, which at the time was known as the 1.5 superfly. The footage that I've seen predates other footage of performers known to have been among the first to use the move by years. So, it brings the question, if Scott Steiner hadn't gotten big, do you think he could have been a major, major star in, well, he was a big star in pro wrestling, but do you think he could have been major if he hadn't gotten so massive?
I mean, he was really big at the end of that WCW run. Like, he was a big deal. Like, they made a star out of him with the Big Papa Pump stuff. He made himself a big star just because of the promos. And, you know, that's kind of near the end run there where the Super Jack guy was getting over. But he worked really well. And then when he came, I remember like it was yesterday when he made his debut at Survivor Series and came out, he was over so hard. Like, it was so over. And then he had those two feuds with Hunter. And you thought maybe one of those he's winning the belt, but this is a different type of Triple H. We'll get into what you think about what he was politically at that point, but those two matches happened, and they were really bad. And then he wasn't even on WrestleMania. And then from there, he had a tag team called the Testicles. And then he went to TNA and was in the main event Mafia, and it was okay. But I feel like that WWE run really derailed and changed the path of things. I mean, we'll always have Steiner math.
Yep.
We'll always have the interview where now it's just kind of, it's weird because he had that run there at WCW where he was over to a large amount of people and had like the freaks had like Medusa, not Medusa. I can't remember how to pronounce her name, but it starts with an M. He had his NWO run. He had his feud with his brother. He had his feud with Booker T. And to me, at least, it was one of the highlights of WCW. He was just entertaining. And then he should have got over it like he did in WWE. And then after that, he just kind of became a parody of just yelling and different things from Steiner Math to the interview where someone talked about a Hurricane Rana. He's like, you better call it a fucking Frankensteiner. It's not a Hurricane Rana. And that's just kind of what he turned into. And in a month and a half, he'll have a match with Hornswoggle on WrestleMania week at an indie show.
Yeah, he's still going. I just, you know, I look at it.
He was really good in the ring, though. Him, the Steiners together as a tag team were great, and Scott was really, really good.
Yeah, I just feel like if he had kept maybe 10, 15 pounds off of himself, I feel as though he would have been able to be a little bit more mobile in the ring. I think that would have helped his programs heading into WWE at the time. Because you learned about it in the Mark Henry documentary, and it's well-known history that these bigger guys it's hard on their bodies, and it's wear and tear on their bodies. And I just feel like that also derailed Steiner. Was he just, I don't know how much physically he could do by the time he got WWE, just because the mass that he had gained had taken such a wear and tear on his body. And now you see he's obviously a lot smaller these days, but it's still, you can see just the way he moves at different points. It's not as quick and agile. I mean, he's older, but you'd think that maybe if he was a little bit, if he had maybe taken 10, 15 pounds off, he would have been, he would have had a 66 and two thirds chance of really making a run in WWE.
Samojo.
Badass.
That's pretty much what I remember from him in TNA.
Yeah. I just saw this, this popped up, and I watched the footage, and it's a 450 splash, and it's...
Oh, he was great. I mean, you know me, anything we've ever done, I refuse to call it a hurricanrana. It's a Frankensteiner.
Yeah, it's, he was...
Next thing you better call him fuck Frankensteiner. Okay. Hey, Scott, you got it.
I mean, even with everything said, Steiner still integrated in wrestling culture. You have the little red siren emojis, and you know who you're talking about.
Anytime with Cesaro had it, when Ambrose recently had it, or I guess he still does, no one thinks about anybody but Steiner when a siren goes off for a theme song.
Oh yeah, like Ciampa, when you hear I thought he had sirens at some point. Maybe it was someone else. Maybe I'm thinking of someone else. Now I realize. Maybe, Yeah, because anytime you hear that, you're like, oh, that's Steiner. That's because he comes out. And I mean, just his promos are integrated. In any wrestling fan that's on the internet, you will eventually go down a Steiner rabbit hole.
I always really like the end of WCW is not a pretty one, and I'm one of the idiots that stuck with it and watched to the very end because I was a young kid and I just liked watching wrestling no matter what form I could get in. And the only things that really kept me invested in that WCW 2000-2001 period was Lance Storm and Scott Steiner. Those are two, and Booker to a degree as well, but those are two of the main factors that at least kept me entertained and knowing that this is an absolute piece of crap product. But at least Steiner was entertaining, and Lance obviously was fantastic.
Yeah, it's fascinating because Steiner's name gets brought up a lot for guys that are just they draw you in. I just wonder if he draws you in, but I wonder if he was a little bit more on the athletic side. If he would have been even more, he would have been a bigger star in just jumping over from WCW to WWE at some point.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's 56 and he's still going.
Yeah, I mean, he's fueled by just wanting to take out fat asses, apparently, so...
His brother apparently is, like, a real estate agent or something now and, like, really good at it.
Oh,
no, he's
wow.
Works... He is a school board member. He is the head of the school board district.
Wow.
And he's really, like, well-respected, Rick Steiner.
Good for
him. And he does sell really... And he sells real estate as well.
Good for him. You know,
he's really respected as a real estate agent and as someone that's on the school board as a school district member.
Wow.
Yeah.
What was I going to say? I just look at, you know, the Steiners is a tag team. It really is a tag team that you should look at a little bit harder, but I always feel like they kind of get lost in the shuffle.
Great theme song, too. Early 90s, look up Steiner Line. Great 90s theme song. And if we could still do original theme songs, I wish that we could have put it on here, but obviously we have to keep to original music now. But Steiner Line, go check it out. It's up there with the Quebecers theme for great, like, and the Mountie for like great 90s theme song. Not as good as American Males as far as like cheese. American Males is good. The Quebecers may be my favorite, though.
I did not imagine we'd be going down this rabbit hole.
I
still maintain the best, well, the two best in the 80s are Sean and Brett. But
by the way, Wrestling Observer, 89 and 90, best wrestling maneuver, Frankensteiner.
Steiner will live on forever.
Also has a match of the year.
with Hiroshi Hase and Kensuke Saki. So it's Rick Steiner versus Hirohashi and Kenzo Saki. And oh. Then in 1990, they were named the Tag Team of the Year. And then also, coincidentally, he is the worst tag. He is the worst match ever worked with Triple H. He has two WWF tag titles. And then Pro Wrestling Illustrated Awards that he also he has Mid-Atlantic Heavyweight Championship and Tag Teams of Steiner. He has all those accolades within WCW. He also wrestled in ECW, which I didn't know. As far as Pro Wrestling Illustrated, he had a match of the year with Rick Steiner against Sting and Luger. Tag Team of the Year in 1993. Most Improved Wrestler in 89. In 91, he was ranked 6th in the top 500. In 2003, he was ranked 77. And as far as tag teams with his brother Rick, jumped to number 2 in 2003. I don't remember them even really wrestling at that time.
Oh, wow.
That's so, pretty crazy.
Yeah, it's Scott Steiner is always one of those. He's definitely a character that is highly entrenched in wrestling lore and just legend. And you generally know who Scott Steiner is, which, I mean, to his credit, that's what you want, to live in that realm of where you're known. And I guarantee you there are people that are spending their hard-earned money to see him wrestle Hornswoggle.
He's back in the new WCW, TNA, back in Impact. And half the reason that Scarlett Bordeaux clip trended? Yes, it's because Scarlett Bordeaux is going kind of this Attitude Era character. But I think a big part of it, too, is like Steiner's in this?
Yeah, and you got to see what Steiner's doing, because Steiner showing up on television, he's the one guy that you kind of want to give a live mic to, just purely to see what happens. And then
if they announce him for the Hall of Fame, that, I think, well, you know, kind of a mini transition here. The Japanese show is having a little bit of a hard time with some of the tickets to a degree, apparently.
Yeah.
As far as resale goes. If they announced Steiner for the Hall of Fame, obviously Rock or Taker, if they did the Hall of Fame, would change some people's minds. But if they announced Steiner, I think there's a few people that were going to Japan to be like, you know, I kind of want to see Steiner with a live mic.
Because that's the only way you're going to hear that whole thing. Because they'll be editing. There'll be so much editing with Steiner.
If there's Steiner or if you get Cornette again.
Yeah, either why not both? Why not just let them sit and talk for an hour?
By the way, really quick transition here. What was the tweet you sent me that Corny laughed at Russo over?
Vince, I believe. I gotta take a quick look. Gotta dig through. I believe it was because Russo was questioning why WWE hasn't called him back. Why they haven't brought him.
Yes, that's why. I mean, we need some pool matches for sure.
Well, I mean, at this point, after Elimination Chamber, we might get Leo Rush on a pool match.
We may get that, but that was really, really, really well done. But shall we get into? Do you want to get into stuff out of the ring first? Just get this out of the way, then we'll talk about the pay per view.
Yeah. Let's hit on the.
Okay, let's go. Usos. He was arrested after a drunken dispute with the cops in Detroit, and according to TMZ, more or less, it seemed like Naomi, who was driving the vehicle, seemed inebriated and wasn't driving correctly and kind of was swerving to what the police were saying. And then, more or less, Jimmy got out, kind of had a back and forth with the police, at one point took his shirt off, got a little heated. Eventually, he calmed down, went to jail, got the mugshot. Later, bail was posted. And, it doesn't seem like the Usos are being punished in any of this. But possibly Naomi will be. And her tag team partner obviously had an interesting week as well. But, unfortunate situation that had to happen outside. And I think the biggest thing that was said in this was, I don't know the exact wording of this, Joel, but something that WWE said they're not responsible for outside actions of their talent or something.
independent contractors.
Mm. So, obviously, we're getting some more on the Usos in a bit here. Had one of them not gotten the DUI before?
I believe
maybe it was Jey Uso?
Yeah, I believe so. So,
And I think we had talked about, you had talked about before that they were possibly looking to maybe go to AEW, their contract's coming up. So, I mean, some people thought they weren't even going to be in the match. So, and we'll get to the results of that match, which I kind of was surprised about.
Yeah, so was I. That was definitely a weird little bit. I mean, they're in an interesting spot right now because they've gotten this. The contracts are up, but WWE doesn't want talent to leave, so now it's...
Jonathan Fatu is responsible for his own personal actions.
Yeah.
And then, yeah, the statement is similar to one that was released in January 2018. Jey Uso had a DUI in Texas. So about a year apart, these two DUIs. But if you remember, too, Jeff Hardy had one around a similar time last year as well. February, March, Jeff Hardy had one, too.
Yeah.
Because it was Elimination Chamber, after Elimination Chamber 2, was it not?
I'm not entirely sure.
Around that time. So, yeah. I mean, it's unfortunate. I would almost like a stiffer punishment because these are looked at role models. But doesn't seem WWE takes the DUIs as serious as maybe as they should.
Yeah, it's a tough
situation.
Yeah, yeah, because you're getting secondhand information from both police and
it's TMZ, and I don't know how the situation could have been. Maybe Jimmy, like, a taser was brought out during this too. Maybe Jimmy thought it was a more threatening situation for him than what we not. We, I mean, I'm just gonna say the simple as this: Donald Glover won the song for this year called "This Is America." We'll leave it at that and move on.
Yeah.
Then the other story, which is just, can we just go back to saying someone might go to AEW or leave WWE? Those stories are funner to talk about.
Yeah, it's always fun to speculate.
Amy Polinsky is the wife of Corey Graves, or I guess she was the wife of Corey Graves. She took to Instagram and wrote the following: "This may be totally below me to do, but I'm hurt. I'm sad. I've put 11 years into supporting a man to accomplish his dreams, only for him to punch me in the gut. I've been through suicide attempts, alcoholism. I'm on so much more with him and stuck by his side. The kicker is finding out he's sleeping with one of my daughter's role models all along, Carmella and Corey Graves. I hope you guys are happy. I really do." And then some texts were exchanged where Corey threatened the WWE would sue her.
Oh.
So Corey Graves is a piece of shit.
Well, has Corey Graves officially released a statement on any of this?
No.
Then we've only got one side of the story right now. So we do. It's one of those things where... Wait, before we go and scold anyone on online, I think it's best to just kind of wait.
I'm just going to assume if the wife is saying something, though, where there's smoke, there's fire.
Oh, there's probably definitely fire, but I just wait for the second statement if it ever comes out. But
also, Enzo Amore had fun on Twitter against Corey with this.
Oh, man, just... there's so many jokes to be made, but I...
The interesting thing about all of this is the longstanding rumor had been that Carmella was having an affair with somebody.
But you can't see him, quote unquote.
But it wasn't Corey Graves, it was John Cena!
Yeah.
This was the ultimate swerve of all time!
Yeah, this... I mean, you know, in NXT, Tom Phillips and Corey Graves were looked at as great, great commentators, and arguably they still are great commentators, but they've both been kind of tied up in this controversy.
Yeah, didn't Phillips have something, like,
yep,
wanted in the butt or something, or like was looking at porn or something on an airplane or something?
No, he was sexting his...
Yeah, that's what it was.
I think, and I believe he was cheating. I believe he was engaged to be married, and he was cheating.
Great.
So.
Quality commentators you got there, WWE. I was shocked to see everybody involved tonight. I mean, I can't say anything against Carmella. She should be performing tonight. She's done nothing wrong. But she's literally going to have this attached to her.
Yeah. Well, the crowd was already chanting Corey Graves at her. So
Naomi, if she did have a DUI, but she didn't even seem to get arrested. So
no.
I was surprised that Corey was on, but I guess maybe you put more attention if you don't have Corey on.
Yeah, yeah.
But there's just whenever Corey said a line tonight, like you said, there is two sides to a story, and we'll get to that, and we'll see what happens. But when he had lines like "My daughter really looks up to this person," or he said the line like "I never say sorry for my mistakes," they just stuck out like sore thumbs tonight.
Yeah,
it was actually after the Elimination Chamber, I had the show on mute because I was watching that in the NBA All-Star game, so I didn't hear commentary the rest of the night. But when I did during the women's, every single thing he said was like a sharp pin that just stood out.
Yeah, he definitely, you look at his commentary now with a different perspective because you hear these stories, and now it's another facet that you have to almost deal with.
And as far as Carmella, it sucks because I kind of liked her run as a face, and I think that's done now.
I don't know.
Do you expect to see either Naomi or Carmella on SmackDown?
Oh yeah, yeah.
I don't think we'll see them on SmackDown this week. Maybe in the future, yeah, but I don't know if we'll see them this week.
Yeah, it's pretty packed, and SmackDown is you're really fighting for your time there. But I expect to see both of them sooner this rather week. Than later.
Yeah, sooner rather than. But do you think we'll see them this week?
Maybe not with everything that's happened with Becky. But I could absolutely see them showing up and doing a match.
I think out of that whole Uso thing, someone's going to get punished, and I think it's going to be Naomi.
Yeah.
And, I mean, I don't know where her contract is, but again, you look at AEW, and they're looking for people to push. And the one criticism of that women's division has been that they don't have the big name. Maybe that's someone they're looking at with the Usos going up. If Naomi's contract's running up at the same time, maybe if they can get Trinity Fatu, that's someone they're going to go in. And she's very lucky because she has her real name is Trinity Fatu, which she's used on Total Divas the past six seasons.
Yeah, yeah.
So she's in a very interesting situation where there's a whole fan base that just knows her as Trinity.
And that's having that branding across boards helps.
And as far as this Corey Graves thing, this is messy. This sucks for everyone involved. It sucks even more because there's kids involved. And we're obviously just going to have to see how it all plays out.
Yeah, but you almost want to just kind of raise your hands, slowly back away, and just be like, I'm just merely here for the wrestling. Whatever you guys are doing on the personal side, you do with your time. But I'm here to watch the wrestling. And nope, I'm done.
And then the last bit of out of the ring personal news is seems like Seth Rollins has ended his relationship as well.
He picked the best time to announce that his relationship was over, and seems a very amicable split.
Like, was this the one? Was this one of the girls with the back and forth of the leaks of stuff came from?
No.
That was the other one.
Yeah.
Right.
Holy crap, there's been a lot of stuff in personal lives for wrestling.
Yeah, so like I said, can we go back to being like, oh, that team may go to AEW?
Yeah, I'm just going to slowly raise my hands from all of this.
So, yeah, let's get to the pay-per-view. And as far as the Corey Graves thing go, unless something really major happens from it, like if we get news tomorrow that he's been fired, then we'll cover it. But I think from this point forward, we're going to kind of just leave the Corey Graves thing alone.
Probably for the best.
Because it needs to be reported because it's a personal thing that kind of we'll see how it impacts. If it was just him with his wife, maybe leave it alone. But since it also affects another performer in the company, it's, yeah. I guess it's the biggest drama with that. This is my last question before we move on. Do you think they turn this into a storyline?
That's entirely possible. This is WWE, so.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, all you have to look at.
Hardy, Edge, and Lita in
one. Yeah, so.
Elimination Chamber. Let's start off on the start of the show. The Women's Elimination Chamber match.
You got to walk it back to the pre-show, my friend.
I didn't see the pre-show, so go ahead.
The pre-show, the match that I saw, at least, was Buddy Murphy versus Tozawa. That was a great match. That was definitely well worth checking out. I quite enjoyed it. Buddy Murphy retains, but is still a solid match and still shows the talent and the skill that 205 has, can definitely build some solid matchups. And it appears like they're going to be getting their biggest, a bigger heel on 205 Live. That's my speculation. Ellis? Pardon?
In Ellis?
No, in Leo.
Oh, okay.
So I wonder how they're going to work that. Maybe he turns babyface and he feuds with Buddy. But Buddy's looked good. This has been a good reign for Buddy. He's had good matches across.
He has some options. Like I said, I assume Mike Kanellis is going to get something soon.
Yeah.
Because pretty much you complain about your push and say you want to go to AEW, you get a title. That's the way it works.
I'm okay with that.
So yeah, I'm glad that match is good. I unfortunately get a chance to see it. Then we had the tag match. Another thing Brian Alvarez had reported in this is that the direction of Carmella and Naomi was changed in this match.
I could see that.
So what we don't know what the full direction is, but them being eliminated first is not a shocker.
No.
Because of everything that was surrounded with the prior news that we had talked about.
Yeah.
So we'll see where that goes in the future. This match was fine. It's probably, like 2.5 stars?
I think fine's being generous. I thought at times it was very messy, sloppy, all over the place, clunky. Just certain performers struggled. Certain performers shined very brightly. Bailey, Sasha. I thought Sonya looked good. I thought Mandy looked decent.
They're very good. I like Mandy and I like Sonya. They have been improving quite a bit.
The Iconics are the Iconics.
Yeah, I love them. I think they're really entertaining. Like, really entertaining. And that's kind of where it stops.
Yeah.
And I don't know where we put them to fill the entertainment gap. It almost really, they just need to be a manager of someone, I feel like.
Nah, that could be a decent role.
Because in ring, neither one of them are very good.
No. And then you have Tamina, Naya.
I'm pretty sure that Naya gave Peyton a concussion.
Or at least gave her rattled her a bit, because it...
Yeah.
When you're throwing people to the cage like that, that's... there were a few points. Like, I thought Naya knocked herself out when she ran into the glass.
Yeah, I think Naya finally hurt herself instead of somebody else.
Like, that was a hard smack. Like, just the way she went, and I swear the glass on the other side had a crack in it. I was like, oh, I wonder what they're going to do with this.
That was probably the spot of the night, for that match at least.
Yeah. Yeah, like, that stands out, just that crash.
I don't know what they're doing with the Riot Squad anymore. It's just...
I forgot they were even in this match.
The overall Riot Squad, like, I don't even think we really need to really talk about Ruby. She got squashed. Like, we'll get to what that match is in a bit, but I don't know what they're doing with the direction of the Riot Squad. It's just really bad.
Yeah, and that's the thing. This match didn't do a good job building anyone to challenge Bailey and Sasha.
They did. They're called the Bella Twins, and they did stuff on Instagram.
Oh, did they?
Yeah.
I wasn't paying attention to that.
Yeah. Bree and Nikki both thanked them and did a whole thing on Instagram. It's going to be the Bellas versus them at Mania.
I have to hear that theme. I have to hear that theme live.
Primo!
Oh.
Yep, and the Bellas are going to win the titles at Mania.
Oh, I have to hear that live.
Yep.
Well, they'll probably come out to the Bella theme. They won't come out to Bree mode.
So you can look, but you can't touch isn't too bad for runner-up. These tag team titles were really awesome to have. The problem is right now the division isn't good enough for some talents to really do that. Like, the other best tag team you have is Io Shirai and Kairi Sane, but they're in NXT and they're not coming up anytime soon.
Well, the rumor is these titles are going to be defended all across, including NXT.
Oh, okay, well, that's tremendous then. Then let's do this, and that's great.
Just keep the titles in NXT, and you know what? Keep Bayley and Sasha in NXT. Just have Hunter fly them down, and then when Vince asks where they are, Hunter goes, I don't know. I think they disappeared, and just let them wrestle in Full Sail. I think they'd be fine with it.
Like, realistically, the only other tag teams that they could put up good matches with are what? So we obviously Mandy and Sonya are capable.
Yeah.
I'd say Foxy and Nikki just because of Nikki.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think Nia and Tamina. Nia sometimes randomly gets good matches, so sure, I'm stretching with that one. I'm trying to think who else. Bliss and Mickey.
Yeah.
Could be something they
Bliss
do there.
Bliss was very it was very weird that she was not on this show.
Has she wrestled anything on Raw other than since the Rumble?
I think she did like a tag team matches, but they're being very careful.
But I think Mickey took most of that match.
Yeah, I think they're being very careful with her right now.
Something's up. Something is up.
Well, I think she's cleared and she's good. It's just a matter of now. I think they'd much rather ease her in than try to really push her.
Right. It'll be interesting. I'm happy for Sasha and Bayley. They really needed this. And I'm the really, really passionate speech by Sasha. I really like the touch of having Beth on the panel.
Yeah.
That was a really nice touch, and Beth is so much better than Renee.
Yeah.
So I thought that was really touching. It's just the lack of depth in this division, which is unfortunate right now. Hopefully it grows. I had read some people were like, now we need to get like an IC or women's title. It's like there's not a good enough amount in the main roster of good actual wrestlers right now.
Yeah, you need to focus. You have three titles now. Just build off that, and then as time goes, then talk about adding another title to it.
The problem is they're all in NXT, like the Mia Yims and the Chelsea Greens and the Deanna Pizzionis, and then you have like the Tony Storms and the Rhea Ripleys. They're around. They're just not on the main roster right now. Like NXT, this is probably the deepest women's division they've probably had since the Four Horsewomen.
Yeah, and even then, once you got past the Four Horsewomen, it started to kind of get thin.
Yeah, so this is a much better one to have. Yeah. Like, even, like, Bianca, like you said, Mia Yim, Chelsea Green, and there's a bunch of other ones. Like, I think Rhea Ripley is going to be a megastar.
Oh, yeah, and, I mean, she's taking the Hunter Rath path. She's got the leather jacket, the long blonde hair. It's...
You mentioned Candice, by the way, who's done nothing yet, but you know Candice is super talented. She can't bail out Joey Ryan anymore, so.
Yeah, he can't just, I mean, get beat up by a cameraman, really, Joey?
if they are going to NXT with these titles, that's great, and I'm really hoping they are, because both Sasha and Bayley are awesome talents, and I want them to have awesome matches like the Revival are having right now.
Oh, the Revival are tearing it down. And I think Bayley and Sasha can do the same. It's just, it takes four to tango.
Like, out of anyone else from this that aren't named Mandy and Sonya, and I guess Nia and Tamina, like, even, like, Liv and Sarah, like, Sarah's okay. Liv is not good.
There's just something about the way you move in the ring that can tell you if you're good or not. And there's certain people that move really well in ring and have that fluidity that you want as a performer. And then there's too many people that don't have that fluidity and everything feels very clunky when they do moves.
And the unfortunate thing is there's so many of them. Like if we can get Shiri and Zayn versus these two, oh my goodness.
Oh yeah.
That has a chance to be a 5-star match.
Oh, that'd be great.
So that was fantastic as far as the winners go and for what it means. It didn't reach the level where I think it's going to be my worst match of the year. So bravo to that. It did enough not to be in that territory.
Yeah, I thought it is what it is.
And like it wasn't a complete cluster, but it also wasn't great.
Yeah, it's in the middle ground.
It's more about the historic and phenomenal thing it has than now we have women's tag team champions, and now we can move forward.
Yeah.
Then we have the tag team titles, and the Usos won.
Well, Shane died for this, so...
He dies a lot of times. Shane is like a cat that is multiplied by five.
Well, he wrestled a WrestleMania with diverticulitis. And funny enough, I learned that Brock Lesnar drove himself from Canada down into the States with diverticulitis.
Yeah, he told Bill Simmons this.
And it just screams Mad Men, but Shane wrestled with diverticulitis after falling out of a helicopter. So, yeah, this man has...
His dad's still not proud of him.
That's the storyline for this. And I think, you know, Ciampa and Gargano have screwed me up, because anytime a tag team loses a match like this and they're walking down, I'm waiting for one of them to say, this is my moment, and then just throw them off the...
Dude, I waited for that so much after the Elimination Chamber with the New Day.
Yeah.
I was like, is one of them going to turn?
Yeah, and then when it faded to black...
And then the graphic came up, I'm like,
I don't believe the graphic anymore.
So, I think, number one, I just thought that they'd at least have these titles for a month. And then they lose it at Fastlane, and then we'd start this turn. But I guess we're starting the turn early. We kind of had the skit in the back. And he's like, I'll see you Tuesday or whatever. And you brought up the interesting thing to me, too. It's like, is Shane the heel in this?
Yeah, because, you know, The Miz announces the kid. Miz has all this stuff going on, and he dedicated this match to so many people, and he ate the pin. Shane didn't, so maybe Shane's disappointed in Miz, and it's a that's what's going to push Shane to attack Miz, because he couldn't get the job done, and it's the Miz's fault. But ultimately, Shane will be the babyface, and Shane will beat the Miz at WrestleMania, so...
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see where this goes. Shane's going to be at NCIS as well.
See, the A-lister, all the connections. You don't want to turn on him.
No, you don't. IC title match. Kind of surprised by this one as well.
Yeah, I thought this match went a little too long, but I thought...
And it was only 9 minutes.
Oh, it felt a lot longer. But I'll say the last minute and a half was a lot of fun. I really enjoyed the flurry of offense.
There was two matches in here that felt really long, and like, looking at the run times, they weren't very long.
I'm glad to see Finn with that title. I think Finn is absolutely a guy that you need to push. I thought
he's the kind of guy you think of as an IC champion. And I think now that we know kind of where Bobby's going, and we'll get to, I think I may have an idea who Finn may be feuding with.
I'm intrigued, so...
He's back in about a month.
Oh, his friend.
I think it's KO.
KO versus... Ooh, that could be fun.
I don't think it'll be Ambrose.
No.
I don't think it'll be Elias.
No.
I'm trying to think who else is on the roster you can feud with, because...
Finn is thrown into the six-man tag instead of Ziggler.
Yeah, well, we'll get to that, because like those guys all look tied up now. Let's get to... Let's get to the six-man as part of all that discussion, and then we'll get to the last two big gimmicks.
Well,
I
was going
to
ask you, what'd you think of Leo Rush in the...
Oh, he looked great.
Like, I thought Bobby looked fine. I just think it was a little early to take the title off of him.
Because I love Bobby's emotion when he won it. You kind of looked at that Mark Henry documentary, which I want to get to at the end here. And Mark talks about how much that title meant to him, the win. And I felt like when Bobby won, like it meant a lot to him to get that IC title. I think it was kind of to him, like, I came back to WWE and I got this title.
Yeah, I've achieved a step, a goal that I had. I'm taking steps forward.
And I kind of wanted him, Bobby has had so many missteps in this run. And then what they do later, and by the way, we're going to go to that now, kind of talk on both of these, Joel, because... Yeah. I think the next match has so much storyline stuff, and then the one after. So Corbin beating Strowman, we'll talk about everything like that. But like what they did with Bobby in that afterwards is like, okay, well, that's, I guess, a step forward for Bobby looking dominant again.
Yeah.
But it's also a step back in this. Like, I know he doesn't eat the pin, but he loses the title. And
I had an idea what I wanted Bobby the Lashley to be, and we're about a month and a half away from him being in the company within a year. And really, him being attached to Leo was when things kind of turned. I guess he had the Roman win, which never meant anything.
Oh, yeah, he beat Roman, didn't he?
He beat Roman before Roman won the title, the month before he won the title back.
Holy crap, that's
Bob
right.
Lashley.
Oof. Holy crap.
Yeah, seems like forever ago, right?
Yeah.
So I guess those are the highlights, like him beating Roman and then him getting the title. And now, I mean, it looks like we have a direction for Mania or Fastlane. I'm not sure with him, but I hate the idea of him losing Leo because I thought Leo was the best thing that happened to him, much like an Impact when he had that stable with Loki and MVP, and then MVP kind of talked to him and kind of brought up his confidence. And then he kind of just rolled on there with Impact.
Yeah.
And I mean, he ditched the headband. He ditched a bunch of stuff in his look. And I thought he was starting to get like, I liked the level Bobby was getting to, but I guess he's part of this 3-man team now, which we'll get to right now. And I really like Leo with him.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah. I think it was a great pairing. It's a shame that it's over.
Yeah, and then Corbin beat Strowman in a stupid match that I thought we were done with this bullshit.
Well, I mean, one of the reasons they took Strowman out of the match was they didn't want to put the title on him, and they didn't want him to look weak to Brock. One of the reasons Finn didn't pin him was they didn't want to make Braun look weak, and you had Baron Corbin pin Braun Strowman.
I mean, after him going through two tables and on steps. But I thought this stable of Lashley, Drew, and Corbin was done.
Yeah, it just feels like anytime Corbin touches anything, it just sucks the energy out of it.
I think every wrestling fan, WWE fan, was brought back to those fall shows when we were so sick of it and we wanted a change. And we're like, Raw is so terrible right now. And it just brought back those memories of like, I don't want to watch Raw tonight.
Yeah, yeah, I don't want to see this. This is the same old stuff from the fall, like you said, and it just doesn't inspire my interest. Like, right now, Braun feels super cold. Corbin is the ice in this situation.
They ruined Drew.
Drew feels super cold right now.
Bobby feels fine, whatever. I guess Bobby's cold, too. Like, Drew McIntyre, it was not even 2 months ago. We were talking about Drew headlining Mania if the girls didn't.
Yeah.
And that, it seems like a pipe dream ago.
Oh, yeah. Like, it's going to take a while to reheat
50-50 booking and bullshit like this has ruined Drew McIntyre now.
Well, I wouldn't say it's ruined, but it is.
But it definitely cooled him down. Let's go with that.
Yeah, it stunted his rise to the top.
So do we think this is the Mania match, or is this something at Fastlane?
I think this is the Mania match, because by the time you get out of Fastlane, is that really enough time to build singles matches? Like, I thought Drew was going to face Cena, but I think that's way gone.
Yeah, and they like their multi-man matches, and this gets 6 people now.
Yeah, Kurt, so, and this will probably be used to get Kurt on the show.
And I guess Ziggler?
No. Didn't you hear? Did you hear It's Nicholas. He's done screw by that point.
Oh my god, please no.
Watch. It's gonna be Nicholas.
Well, if Nicholas pins Corbin, I would enjoy that.
I could see that happening.
But I mean, in all seriousness, if it's not Nicholas, oh my god. other than Ziggler, who else makes any sense
Finn,
to you?
Finn is tied.
Other than Finn, if Finn's going to defend the title.
I don't know if Finn's going to defend the title. You know how fickle they are with the IC title being defended, so.
I'm just saying, is there any other options?
Not really. I can't think of any.
Jarrett and Angle tagging!
I'm walking away from that one.
Talking about messy situations.
Moving.
I don't know who else is on Raw that's a babyface. Who else is a baby? Ambrose?
Maybe that's Ambrose's last Mania.
Honestly, what's the babyface? I'm actually asking a serious question.
I actually don't.
Oh, wait, Jose?
He's Slater?
Yeah. That's pretty bad. It's pretty bad that the next babyface you think of is Kurt Angle, who is semi-ly there. And then I cannot for the life of me think of another.
You look at Kurt's eyes and he's...
Oh, it's Sammy.
Sammy's not a babyface, though, and Sammy's not...
He can be a babyface. He can get revenge on Lashley.
Well, that could be KO spot as well.
That could be KO too, yeah.
Or all these men could be in an ice.
And then Finn just gets to face Adam Cole. We got it solved.
That's not going to happen. I'm sorry.
No, it's not going to happen.
This is the part of the show where it's just like, oh, yeah, this is definitely a WWE show because this is a cluster.
That's the bathroom break match for you, my friend.
Yep.
Unless Nicholas is in it.
Yeah, if Nicholas is in it, Strowman goes, you know what's going to happen? It'll be Kurt and Ziggler, and then Kurt will be attacked backstage, and Strowman's going to be like, I have the partner, and Nicholas will get to walk down the stage this year.
We like to put things in pen and Sharpie, so we'll be doing the Mania preview at the end of this in Sharpie and whatnot. The next one, Ronda just jobs. By the way, that match, I thought that went like 25 minutes, Joel. 10 minutes.
That was 10 minutes?
10 minutes.
Man, you talked about...
feel like it was 20 minutes, at least.
Oof.
And I wasn't even fully watching it. At this point, I'm like, I'm mainly watching the All-Star game at this point. And I keep on like, how is this still going on?
Yeah, I think we need to move on.
Ronda jobs out Ruby. Sucks. I think Ruby's super talented. Really sucks that she's in this position.
Yeah, the minute they said she hit Piper's Pit, I'm like, oh, it's over. That's really quick. And I knew
I hope Ruby goes to SmackDown away from the Riot Squad and gets to start over.
Yeah. But I think more importantly, we got kind of like an Austin moment tonight.
We did. So Becky comes out on crutches. WWE had told a story yesterday that she re-injured her leg attacking Charlotte. And everyone totally bought it. Good job, ooh, WWE. Eh. And then obviously she's going to attack Charlotte. And then Ronda, just like Sonya Blade, came out, stood it there, and it looks like Becky and Ronda are going to work together, which to every wrestling fan, chagrin was like, oh my God, really, we're going to do this? This is Triple Threat is so stupid. And then Ronda turns her back, and the glass broke, and Stone Cold Steve Becky was at it again.
And the blood that was spilled at this point... Yeah, I didn't know Sonya. Well, as John Pollock said, they would have. What was his joke?
Like, see, Ronda was Sonya, but Sonya should have Blade. Did.
You should. It would have been safer if you just had Sonya Blade.
Yeah.
Well, Becky walloped both of them, and it felt like they put the cuffs on Becky as she was walking out. It felt like her hands were behind her back as they were walking her away. So, and Becky got one up on Charlotte and Ronda. So, we carry on with Ronda being a babyface in this, Becky being a tweener, and Charlotte being the heel.
It's funny because they have tried this one other time. This face against the authority against Vince McMahon character since Austin. One other time, and it did not work, and that was with Roman. When Vince went to jail, and they did the stuff with Hunter, and it just did not work. And God damn it, it's kind of working.
Yep, because Becky is over. Maybe Becky's over in spite of all this overbooking, but as of right now, seeing Ronda bleed and seeing Becky walking out with a big smile on her face, it's pretty memorable.
I think the difference is people want Becky and people didn't want Roman.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. That's a big factor in this. This is someone that the crowd organically had.
People don't want the triple threat. So the one thing they did is they have taking this triple threat, and they're using the triple threat as a heel move, which is the right move because nobody wants a triple threat. They just want the one-on-one match.
Yeah, I think it will be a triple threat at Mania because I just don't think Ronda wants to get booed.
No, she's very sensitive about that, as we've heard in the past. Like, when she lost her fight to Nunez, and she lost especially the one to Nunez, she took it really offensively when Nunez, like, destroyed her and people were booing her out of the ring. So she's going to get booed, though. And as you brought up, like, not a great crowd reaction for Sonya, for Ronda tonight.
Yeah. But Becky's over, so that's what matters.
Becky's over like Rover. She is on another level right now. To me, that at that point was the highlight of the show, and then this match happened. And it was a pretty good match. Jeff Hardy is a psychopath, one of the better Swantons to the end of his career that we get to look at. We have a WrestleMania match confirmed in here, which we'll talk about afterwards.
Joe looked great.
Joe looked great until Joe got eliminated first.
Ah, even then, Joe looked good.
And then it came down to the final two, and goosebumps.
Like a real, genuine wrestling moment.
And for a guy that wasn't even supposed to be in the match.
I keep hearing the clip from Clerks where the guy's like, I'm not even supposed to be here. That's the thing that I keep hearing when I look at Kofi, but damn it, that's the Mania match. That we have long tried to figure out who Brian's facing, and it's Kofi. And
unless they're going to give us Joe, but I don't think so.
No. This is the second time Brian has been in an Elimination Chamber match as the champion and made you believe that he was going to lose it.
Santino. Yeah. I felt like that in the other one.
Yeah, and Brian's on another level. As much as Kofi's going to get praised for all this, and Kofi should absolutely get praised on the run he's been in the last five or so days, you got to tip your hat to Brian.
This was Daniel Bryan, best wrestler in the world. This is Daniel Bryan. I'm better than Kenny Omega. I'm better than AJ Styles. I'm better than Tanahashi Okada. That's that Daniel Bryan.
Yep, he is absolutely. If this run keeps going, and as long as Bryan stays healthy, he's going to be in the conversation for Wrestler of the Year this year. This is this generation Shawn Michaels coming back, yeah, and wrestling at a high elite level and putting on amazing performances. Bryan is just on another level. I would have him lose at Mania, but there's a part of me that wants him to keep that. I love the graphic for the Eco title and how they say this is the Eco World Heavyweight title. His graphics now have changed with the... It's amazing what they've done with Daniel Bryan in the last 4 months has been better than what they did for almost...
So what do you do at Fastlane? Do you have a tag?
I'd have like a... if the New Day beat Rowan and Bryan, then they get to challenge Bryan for the title. One of the New Day members get to challenge for the title.
Or I guess you can just do Ali.
Yeah, you could do Ali as well. I would still have a number one contender there, and Kofi and the New Day win it. And then
so my question to you is it going to be too oversaturated for Mania to have the moment with the teams?
Because we'll get to that. The thing is with Mania is, and I think Kevin Owens has said this, it's about moments. Mm-hmm. I don't think it matters that we're going to see similar moments with...
just as long as they're there.
Yeah. What matters is just that organic reaction. I think Seth's will be a little underwhelming, but I think this Kofi one, if it happens and follows through, I think that'll be on par with the reaction that he wins.
Such a good job of the New Day brotherhood building up here, where if a heel turn happens, it is going to be heartbreaking.
It will be as bad as the Festival of Friendship.
Yeah, and that'll be Sean. It'd be like Sean and Marty.
It will be the you just hear how these guys talk about each other, and it's a credit to all three men. Like you know, you sit there and you look at them, like they've said. Using to build this matchup, you look at them and you go, Bootios, pancakes, unicorns. But these are three extremely talented performers, and when they're put in certain situations, they can absolutely go. The Uso feud is a prime example of that. They're getting their just dues. This is absolutely a guys that I would want to, if I was Fox and WWE came to me and said, we're putting the titles on the New Day, like we're putting the World Heavyweight title on the New Day, specifically Kofi, I'd be perfectly fine with it, because these guys have done all the PR. They are part of all your branding. Anytime you have big press conferences, the New Day is there. And Xavier, Big E, and Kofi are speaking on your behalf. They have represented the company through and through, like we saw with the Mark documentary. It's very much what the New Day does. They deliver in ring. They're kid-friendly. They're product-friendly. But they can slip in little PG-13 jokes from time to time. They are exactly what you would want to build your company around. These three guys, and if you can get to the point, in all likelihood, you'll never get to the Shield triple threat at Mania, but there's a chance you could get the New Day triple threat at Mania at some point.
I have a feeling, I mean, if I were going to book this, I'd have Kofi win at Mania.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And then I think the one that it does have to turn is Big E.
Yeah.
Just for the simple reason, he's like, I'm bigger than you, I'm stronger than you, and you guys have held me down type of thing.
Yeah,
because I have no doubts Woods would be a great heel, or Kofi would be a great heel. I just feel that Big E can get the most out of it all.
Yes.
And Woods can go, don't get me wrong. I just don't know how good Woods would work as the major heel out of all of them.
Yeah.
Because he does too much outside of the ring.
Yeah, there's a lot of, and that's the thing. Like, these guys have such a positive, like what he does with up up down Amy. Down makes it tough.
Yeah, so that's why I want to go with Woods. But if you and you have him turn, and then it's Big E and Kofi at SummerSlam, I think that'd be great. I mean, who knows what they're going to want with that? But that's the direction I would consider going if I were them.
Josh, mm-hmm. So it appears that there's some breaking news.
Sure,
this is yet to be verified. But it appears to be real, but there was an advertisement for a Hall of Fame induction, and the team is D-Generation X going into the Hall of Fame, and the video they show Billy Gunn, Road Dogg, mm-hmm. X-Pac, and China in this video package for the Hall of Fame.
So they're going to get her in.
So I think that's the roundabout way that they're going to put China into the Hall of Fame. But that just popped up on my Twitter feed. I will send that to you. But that appears that they're doing that.
So do you think they made the audible to not the do DX to the Hart Foundation then?
I think they think DX is a bigger draw. There's nothing. Hart Foundation was never verified 100%. So
this is the main event they're going to have, is D-Generation X?
An hour of poop jokes.
So my major question, I mean, the China one is in there. And I guess they show Billy.
AEW, he could come out with an AEW hoodie. Vince will be fine with that, right?
Conspiracy theory? Do they do a mini trade?
No.
No, and this is what I talk about. You can have Billy for the Hall of Fame, but we get Dustin for something.
I don't think so.
Yeah, but that's just a guess. Interesting nonetheless.
Yeah, it's interesting he's shown in it. So, I mean, where there's smoke, there's fire, but I think this is a really smart
Obviously, fire. The bigger situation out of all this is the fact that China's in that.
Yeah.
I mean, in the Mark Henry doc, which I want to get to before we end here, she's shown in that. We've seen her in a few more pieces lately. Her death obviously made it. I don't think if she died, she'd be in these pieces, to be completely honest.
No.
So, I guess that's the backhanded way to also get I guess that's how Road Dogg and Billy Gunn become Hall of Famers, which seems pretty unfair. And X-Pac.
All of them are going to get rings.
I just feel like, do those guys deserve, like, the New Age Outlaws deserve a separate induction?
Well, I mean, the bar is set really low for the WWE Hall of Fame, and
don't get me wrong, like, the Horsemen aren't, it's not like the Horsemen where Arn deserved his own, and Tully deserved his own.
Yeah, you could make an argument for the New Age Outlaws.
So I wonder, like, are we just going to do all teams this year? We're going to do the Hart Foundation, we're going to do DX, we're going to do NWO?
It could be. That could be how they decide to compete with MSG. I think this is weak, but...
I think it's super weak. I don't like this team idea.
No, I don't either.
I think it's lazy.
Yeah, it's a really easy way to do things, but, I mean... Vince McMahon's a billionaire, so he can do whatever he wants.
If that's the headliner, then that means the Taker thing is more serious than we thought it was at this point.
Yeah, Taker's going to enjoy his freedom, I guess.
But Taker's a StarCast, by the way.
Yeah, yeah.
Which is a very big shock to everybody when they saw that. Conrad, I just picture Conrad sitting on that graphic being like, doo-doo-doo-doo, when should I drop this? When should I drop this? When should I drop this news?
Well, he's probably looking at it and going, this is real. Like, I'm not going to... This is not... Someone, Vince isn't going to pop up behind me and go, God damn it, pal, you can't do that. And then disappear. Like, they probably had to feel surreal. And when they probably told Cody in the Bucks, that had to be surreal. So what are the chances that StarCast, Taker teaches the Bucks how to do a tombstone pile driver?
Whew. I wouldn't be against it. Does he own the Undertaker name?
Well, the Undertaker name is shown in the card to preview for him.
I know, that's what I'm wondering. Does he own the name?
He'd be a smart man if he did.
I'm just wondering if, like, WWE, because Sting's there and Bret Hart's there also, and we know those guys are on Legends deals.
Yeah.
Those guys are signed to WWE. And DDP's going to be there. DDP also signed to WWE in a Legends contract.
I just take it as it's just a wrestling convention. It's not Double or Nothing.
Mm-hmm. So, it's just hard to not separate the two, right?
It's very weird.
So if you want Taker, it's $25K.
Yep.
And as far as that DX thing, that's a pretty weak announcement.
Yeah, I saw that. So we'll see that tomorrow night, or maybe this...
I guess they really don't want to compete with Japan then.
Yeah, no. I think they're like, screw it.
I mean, it's funny. If they would have put NXT now, I think more people would have gone to NXT than Japan.
Yeah. I think that was a mistake moving it.
Yeah, because... how could they have known that the Elite wouldn't have been part of that show?
Yeah, exactly.
I still think if I were going, I mean, it's still pretty cool. You get to see Okada and Tanahashi and everyone there. So was there, before we move on, was there any Japanese news really this week?
No, not really.
Nothing really. AEW 20 Con did a podcast with Jericho. I highly suggest everyone goes check it out. It's a really good podcast. So the Mania card, before we get to this Mark Henry Hall of Fame. So you and I have what we like to have, the pen, Sharpie pen. Sharpie pen, pencil, crayon, where we discuss the matches coming up to Mania after pay-per-view when we get to the road to WrestleMania, and then we put in what we think to have. So right now in Sharpie, we have the three-way, correct?
Yep.
We have Brock and Seth.
Yep.
And then what else did we have in Sharpie? Anything else at that point? Just those two for sure.
I believe Randy and AJ.
Yeah, that Randy and AJ tonight, I would officially put into Sharpie. I'm going to put Bella's and Sasha and Bailey in pencil.
Crayon.
Crayon? Okay. Tag titles, too hard to guess for any of them, right?
Yeah.
Miz
and Shane, you could put in pencil.
Pencil. Pen?
Pencil.
Okay. But in pencil, US title.
Too hard to tell.
I'm going to say something involved with Joe at this point.
It could involve Ali.
It could involve Ali. You're good.
It could be a multi-man, so.
Yeah, there's that U.S. title is a weird thing of, and no disrespect to Truth. Do you think Truth's going to have that title going into Mania?
Maybe.
I'm just assuming that title has something to do with Rusev, Nock, Ali, Joe, Jeff Hardy.
Yeah, that'd probably be a fair guess.
Cena appearing is like, that might be crayon.
Well, Cena's still booked for the show, but it sounds like the Lars plans are DOA, and it sounds like Lars Sullivan has joined the Church of Scientology, so.
Moving on, I'm going to leave that one alone. Can we just get Joe and Cena then?
We very well could.
IC title, you think, well, I guess Sharpie for that tag match. Or Penn.
Yeah, Penn.
Asuka.
I have no clue.
I have no idea. Mandy?
Maybe Sonya. Maybe Carmella.
Maybe Bliss.
Maybe.
Maybe Lacey Evans, because she put in a hard work to Evans tonight.
Oh, man.
That was stupid.
7 stars.
So, yeah, we don't really have a lot. I think we have 3 matches in Sharpie.
Yeah, everything
AJ,
else is
Randy, Seth and Brock, and then... And Kofi and Brian. Pencil?
Crayon, because I have a funny feeling they'll find a way to muck this all up.
Mm-hmm. Right. Mark Henry documentary, you got to watch it?
Yeah, I enjoyed it. It was good.
Best part about it, the salmon jacket.
Yeah.
He was going to retire for real and Vince did the Jedi mind trick.
That is...
I went in there, ready to retire, and I signed a 5-year deal. I was howling.
There were a few points in there that you saw Vince and you're like, this man should be examined by psychologists. Just sit down and just studied, because he is such. You will. There will never, ever be anyone quite like Vince McMahon.
No. So as far as Jedi mind trick, we know he did it to Punk, Carlito, Mark. Now, is there anyone else we know that went in there ready to quit and then he got them to sign contracts?
I'm sure there's a long list.
As far as what we know from interviews, those are the 3 that come to my mind right now. I guess the Canellises and the Revival recently.
Yeah.
Yeah. I just howled that he's like, I went in there ready to retire, but you can't give him more than 5 minutes because then I signed a 5-year deal. Yeah, sure, this happened to Big Show and Brock.
Yep.
Losing my breath over Vince's Jedi mind tricks, but I thought. They did a lot of focusing on the powerlifting in this doc, which was really cool, because that's a world of Mark I didn't really know.
Yeah.
I thought they skipped over some stuff from him. I would have liked to have a more of a play-by-play from the stuff in his wrestling years. They kind of really highlighted special points, like Sexual Chocolate and the Hall of Pain. That 2000 mark when he was with Teddy Long and things weren't going good. Would have liked to hear a little more impact on that, but other than that, I thought it was really good.
Yeah, and he just seems like a salt-of-the-earth guy that is, it's good to have it's very rare to have a person like Mark Henry around, and it's good to have a guy like Mark Henry around.
Very limited on the interviews.
Yeah, they didn't have a lot.
They had what? JBL, D'Lo.
Godfather for very brief.
Godfather. That's about it.
And
Mark did a lot. Yeah, Mark did a lot of the narrating himself.
Yeah, he carried the big weight of it all.
Happy to see D'Lo Brown back, though.
Yeah, Hall of Fame.
Yeah, so that was really cool. And then anything else, Joel?
No, I think that's it.
Yeah, so there you go with the pay-per-view. The highlight was, what do you think the overall highlight was, Becky or Kofi?
Both, they're both tied.
Right.
Those were 2 very good moments to have.
By the way, yeah, this there's another little breaking news here. There have been some initial discussions on potentially who Cena could have faced, but it seems like they're gone now.
And who's that?
It was Kurt.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So that's been going around for Cena as a 35 opponent.
I'm interested to see who they have big match John face.
So it does sound like Cena's going to be there. It's just who he's going to face, I have no idea. Maybe we'll get the Hogan match.
All right. I'm pulling the plug on this podcast, Josh. Thank you for joining me.
There is, and the last thing, there is another rumor of who Sasha and Bayley could face at Mania also.
Trish and Lita?
Besties. And yeah, as you were saying earlier, it's starting to go around now, like, that they would put DX in, and it'd be a backdoor to get China in. So, there is the way to get China in, I guess. I wish Sean Waltman would have a bigger stage, because I think what Sean Waltman did as far as light heavyweights in the WWE was, he was really the first to really be there, and Sean Waltman's in-ring is really underrated. And he meant a lot to the Monday Night Wars in many different ways. And I wish he'd get highlighted for that. I mean, 1-2-3 Kid was one of the biggest upsets, if not the biggest upset in the history of WWE.
Yeah, no one thought he'd beat Razor.
Like, we've done this, we did this thing on our NBA podcast on Fresh Take, where we talked about, and you and I had this conversation about wrestlers being born in wrong eras. Like, if they were born, like Walter, if Walter was in the 1980s, I think Walter's great now, don't get me wrong, but Walter's in the 1980s, like, holy crap.
Oh, yeah.
And if X-Pac is now, if Sean Waltman's now, like, Sean Waltman would be one of the highest commodities ever.
Oh, yeah.
So that's an unfortunate thing, and I would prefer the Outlaws go in and by themselves.
This is what? WWE way of doing things.
It is what it is, and Road Dogg is becoming less cool and more of a stooge, so...
That's what happens with time. You're there long enough, you become the stooge.
Yep.
And so you try to abduct Hangman Page.
Sorry?
And you try to abduct Hangman Page.
He did?
Well, the whole BTE thing of the stooge.
Oh, right. I forgot about that.
I'm hurt.
All right. Well, everyone, thank you for listening. And until next time, cheers.
There is a 2/3, like a 66% chance of Kofi being in the main event for WrestleMania.
Enjoy the day, people.
Goodbye. And good night.